Am I on? We good, Neil? There we go. We can continue our series on growing young this morning. As Rowan mentioned, we're in the fourth sermon of that series. So if you've missed a couple, feel free to catch up on YouTube or via audio. And this series has come from a lot of research done by the Fuller Youth Institute and a lot of stories from churches of what they are doing to engage young people and to really be a church that is growing young. Now, as a church, sometimes we do need a reality check of where we're at. Because we have the great National Church Life Survey results over many years, we can track ourselves as a church to how we are growing young. Are we actually growing old as a church or growing young? Now, our statistics are like this. So in 2001, counting those over 15, our average age was 42 as a church in 2001. In 2011, the next statistics I have, our average age was 45. In 2016, our average age was 47. And in our recent results, which we did, it's 2021, but they were done earlier this year, our average age was 53. So we, even though it may not seem, because there's so much life and vitality and young people here, we are a church that is growing old. We are a church that is not reflecting the average age of our community. Now, the average age of our community is 36, and that hasn't changed very much over the last 20 years. Now, that's including all the kids, so anybody under 15 as well. So it's probably more in the 40s is kind of where we want to be. Maybe where we were in 2001 is probably a target age of where we want to have as an average of our church. But we are a church that is growing old. Now, it doesn't seem like it, but sometimes these things are a gradual slope. It's a gradual trend of growing old. In the last, 6 years, we have grown older by the year. So every year we get older, which seems all right, but it's when I talk about the average age, so it means that there's something missing. We're doing something that maybe isn't, engaging new young people or engaging the next generation or the current generation of young people. And so hence this series where we're just looking at little things that we can do as an entire church to engage with our young people. Small little things that we can do to be a church that is growing young. Paul shares in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5 to Timothy, he says, "I remember your genuine faith. For you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you." We want to be a church that this is repeated in every single young person, that the faith is passed on to the next generation, that faith that you have is passed on to the next generation and to the next generation and to the next generation. And our church has done that. We don't end up being 160 if we haven't passed the faith on to the next generation. So we've been looking at a few different things in the series. Our first one was this idea of giving them a go, giving the young people leadership roles and passing on the keys that we hold. Now, passing on that keys to this next generation. The second week we looked at the idea of empathy. Understanding what the young people are going through, understanding the challenges and speaking with them. And we had an opportunity as a church to sit with young people and actually hear and ask about what they're worrying about. What are they struggling with? And last week, Mark shared about the idea of letting the young people come to Jesus. Let them come to me you know, taking Jesus' message seriously, not watering down the gospel, not watering down the message. You know, they're looking for depth, as Rowan mentioned, looking for depth. They're looking for a new understanding, and so sharing the gospel as it is. And today we come out and looking at the idea of a warm community. What does it look like? Now, one of the greatest fears children have is being alone or being left alone. You know, wandering off in the shops, and they may only be an aisle away, but they turn around and mum and dad aren't there, and they just lose it. They just cry. Maybe they start wandering and walk off further. You know, maybe you've been there as a kid, that you've done that, and you remember that experience. But I'm sure the parents would have had their children here that I run off. And some of them lose it. You know, this idea of being alone. You know, we all have that sense of feeling sometimes. We don't want to be alone. We want to feel a sense of a genuine community. You know, we're here in church sometimes because this is a great community. You probably wouldn't be in this church if there wasn't a sense of community and warmth in it. You know, it is actually a basic need we have as human beings. Doesn't matter what age you are, whether you're young or old, a sense of a warm community is something that we look for. Maybe you don't intentionally do it, but we all need it. We all want it. Eric Erickson, who studies stages of children's development, he shares that in the basic development, in the first stage of development of a child, is trust or mistrust. This idea that as an infant, as a baby, they're looking to their parents, they're looking to those who care about them, and wondering, is this somebody I can trust? Is this somebody that will provide my very needs? Now, as a baby, you cannot provide for your needs. You solely rely on those around you. Solely rely on it. A baby is entirely relying on the parents for their every single need. If you ever notice when a young baby, when you leave the room, or even they look away from you, they may start crying. Have you ever noticed that? That's because they think they've been abandoned. There's a sense of, oh, I've been left alone. I can't see it. They're not in my vision. I've been left alone. You know, they want that sense of community, closeness, and touch. Every single baby has this basic need from the very start. And James Fowler, as he looks at the stages of not development, but faith development, this same thing is important. You know, as a baby looks at the experiences around them, they want to feel a sense of trust. In a faith community like ours, they want to feel a sense of trust, a comfortable community which they can grow up in. Personal experiences where they can engage with God in a way that they're able to. And this continues to grow. All this to highlight that from birth, we desire a sense of warm community. Every single one of us, no matter what your personality is, no matter if you're an introvert or an extrovert, we all desire a sense of community. And we all seek a need for that to be a warm community, a genuine community. I want to draw you to Luke chapter 2 today, if you've got your Bible or phone in front of you there. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. It says, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first. because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious leaders, listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere." "But why did you need to search?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Now, many of you would have heard this story before about Jesus, and some would have looked at it. Now, this is actually one of the only, if not only, section where we get to see Jesus as a child and as a teenager in those early years. You know, Luke recounts and captures this little story of what happens. Now, some of you may have heard this story preached on multiple times, and maybe the preacher is focused on the idea of what Jesus said, you know, being his father's in his father's household. Maybe the idea of Jesus growing in wisdom and stature and being obedient to his parents. But I want to take a little bit of a different tack today. And I want to ask the question. Now, Jesus, when he was left in Jerusalem, who looked after him? Have you thought about that? Where did he eat? Where did he sleep? Who looked after him? He was there for 3 days. Who cared for him? Have you ever asked that question? Jesus, at the age of 12, was left in a major city, a bustling city, in Jerusalem, by himself. You see, what would he do? We can only assume that someone fed him. Someone gave him food. Now, parents of 12-year-old boys, or have had boys, they eat a lot of food. Somebody fed him, you know? Jesus was fasting when he was an adult for, you know, for 40 days, but I think as a 12-year-old boy, he's like every single other 12-year-old boy, he needs food. So I don't think he was fasting. Somebody fed him. Somebody gave him somewhere to sleep. You know, they cared for his basic needs. You see, for the Jewish community, one of the values that they held that flowed directly from the heart of God is to be caring for the community. This sense of warm community was a value that they held. So if somebody needed help and assistance, they would come around as a community and care for them. You know, that's why Jesus' parents didn't notice him until the end of the day, because they were walking as a community back home to Nazareth. They just assumed he was with other family or friends or, you know, whatever it is. They just assumed that he was cared for and loved. They didn't have to have him by their side the entire time. You see, in our community, not our church community, but in our community, it's difficult to do that. You wouldn't walk as a group with your child and just let him kind of mosey around and come see him at the end of the day. Maybe 50 years ago you would have, but now it's different. But our church community needs to be reflecting this type of community. You know, someone to care and meet for the needs of their neighbors. You know, the Jewish had a word called mishpacha. We heard it from Sally a few months ago. This idea of this family just caring for each other. This is what our church is to be looking like. And what about young people? What are they desiring? There's a lie that has seeped into our understanding of church and our understanding of what young people are looking for. There's a lie that no matter what we do, it seems to be there anyway. Seems to be integral to our ministry to young people. Now, I've served as both a youth leader and a youth pastor before, and this lie is there, and it seems to be always there. And this lie is that young people want to relate with people who are cool. They want to relate with people who are cool. Now, 12 years ago, when I served as a youth pastor and as a youth team, what was cool was skinny jeans. Now, I've never owned skinny jeans until now. I've got them on today. They just seem uncomfortable sometimes. I've never owned skinny jeans, and I intentionally never owned skinny jeans because I could never be cool. I never met this standard of coolness. But now I'm thankful that skinny jeans no longer are really cool, so I can wear them. You know, this lie that they're looking, you know, teenagers are looking for a, you know, kind of a cool space to hang out, you know, kind of cool music, and that will attract and really engage with young people. They're looking for cool, hip leaders that, you know, engage with them and have fun. You know, this lie that this is, if you have this, you're going to have an exceptional youth ministry. This is a lie, and it seems to be written about and spoken about. You know, this idea that you dress cool. Now, I've got some cool, you know, trendy kind of photos out there. Now, for young people, this may have been a couple of years ago, because trends just seem to change so much. But for what it up there, it seems to be the coolness is this idea of ripped jeans. You know, the more rips, the better, seems to be. Yeah, if you can see your knee, like, that's trendy and cool. Like, it seems to be that what it is. So, now, I can't pull this off. I walked into a shop this week and bought this, and I cannot pull off anything in that entire shop. I'm not cool. You know, this idea of, you know, you see up there, this kind of leather jacket. Now, a jacket I can put on. Now, tell me if I look cool with this jacket on. Have I just reached a level of coolness? See, this idea of this kind of, you know, kind of coolness, skinny jeans, being able to speak the lingo, you know? There seems to be a new generation of language that comes with each generation. And this is the lie that you can engage with them on social media, you know? You know, I should be up here doing a TikTok video or something like that, you know, in my cool, you know, cool denim jacket. And if I'm cool, like, I'll engage with the young people. But the fact is that this is a lie. I'll never be cool, no matter how much I try. And if I try to be cool, it will be fake. Can I invite Stuart up onto the stage here? Now, as he comes up here, the research that this idea is based off, the churches that are growing young, the churches that are engaging with young people, that is, they're engaging with young people and not only attracting a large amount of young people, but these young people are being integrated into the church community. You know, it's easy to grab a community of young, you know, teenagers. You can put on something really cool and attractive, and that engages them. But to actually integrate them into the church community, you know, cool just doesn't do it. These young people in churches are not looking for the cool, hip, you know, youth pastor or leader. Their desire is a community that loves them, that cares for them. As they researched and looked at these churches, and interviewed young people, the common phrase that kept coming out of these churches that are growing young was this: I can just be myself. This community accepts me for who I am. You know, they point me to Jesus and they show me what I need to do to be transformed, but they accept me. It's warm. You see, I could buy cool. We can invest money in a cool, hip youth pastor. But you can't hire or fake warmth. Warmth is there. People are seeking a genuine, warm community. Now bring Stuart up on stage here. Stuart is one of our Friday night youth leaders. Now Stuart, I've asked permission to share this. Stuart is 75. Stuart is 75 years old, serves as a youth leader, and the young people connect with him. Now Stuart, like me, is not cool. Look at his jeans. How many rips does he have? Zero. No denim jacket. That's it. And his shirt is tucked in. You know, it's not even hanging out and, you know, extra long. And he's not cool, but he engages with young people. He was speaking the other day and he had the entire young people engage with Jesus and sharing it, and they connect with him. Now, he has his struggles being, you know, significantly older. He's got to try and understand the culture and what they're about, and it's not easy to be that. But Stuart brings a sense of warm community, not cool. He's there and he cares for them. He has experience in life and is able to share the gospel and Jesus to them. And this is ultimately the deep desire in young people's hearts. This is their desire. They may come across and, you know, kind of be attracted to the cool, but the cool is just a surface level. The warm is a deeper level. Thanks, Stuart. Now, there's stories like this in our church community. Older people engaging with younger people, and just our entire church community engaging with the current generation of young people. You see, the warmth young people are seeking often isn't clean and tidy and all put together and perfect. You see, the warmth that young people are looking for is sometimes messy. You know, messy is a good word to describe what young people want from a congregation. Because just like me and you, we are broken and our lives are not all ordered. And so to provide a genuine warm community, don't feel like on Sunday you have to be all ordered and prim and proper. But just be genuine who you are. That is what young people are looking for. Now, their real desire is a big warm hug. They don't want trendy. Now, this is one of my jackets that I wear a little bit. It's not super trendy, but it's warm. And that is what young people are looking for. They're looking for the warmth. So I don't want you to come out of this message and, you know, head to the Universal store and buy some hip trendy clothes. It's not going to do it. Some of us among us are just trendy, like Nathaniel. He's trendy. Or so my wife says. But most of us, probably like me, just can't be trendy. But we can be warm. Every single one of us can provide a warm community around us, around for our young people. So what do we do to do with this? What are we to do? You remember when Jesus stayed in the temple without his immediate family? He was perfectly fine. He didn't even worry about his needs. It was just cared for. We want to be welcoming people like that, like they're part of our family. We don't have to be cool or hip or relevant. You don't have to be on TikTok or any of the social medias to engage with young people. So my challenge today, as a first step to create a sense of warm community, my challenge to you is to learn the names of five young people. Five young people. We got to meet a few young people the other day, but you know, as the kids roll out, as you see some young people and teenagers amongst our communication, our congregation, go and walk up to them, get to know their name, understand what they're about, and remember that name. So that when you come back next Sunday and they walk in, you can call them by name. It's something so simple, but creates a warm community. It's a first step to doing that. Now, the pastors and the elders and that, we've been intentionally trying this over the last couple of months to really get to know the young people's names. And you see that when you call them by name, their face lights up. You know, you stand here and they're you know, running in sometimes, and you call them by name and they kind of like stop, give you a weird look. I'm like, he knows my name. You know, and as you continue to do that, you create that connection of warm community. You know, they might actually talk back to you, say g'day. Maybe they'll comment on your shirt. Maybe you've got a cool shirt on. And they'll say, that's a cool shirt. You know, you're looking good today. That is a sense of warm community. All generations engaging with each other, connecting. So that's my challenge to you today. We need to be looking as a church to create this service our entire community and bring the warmth to it, not the cool. Bring the warmth to it. So get to know the names of five young people today. Let me pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that we can stand on the backs of those who've come before, those who have passed on the generation to the next generation. Lord, your message, your gospel message, those who have created a warm community where we can just be who we are. So Lord, today I ask that you would help us with that. May this church create and be a warm community. Lord, that you would draw us in, that young people will feel welcomed and loved, that they could be who they are. Lord, help us today. It's not easy. Lord, help us today to do that. Amen.